Good morning.
We are in our series on words of life, and this is week three of that, and we're going to continue today to speak about or speaking from the heart. We've been looking at the tongue and the power that it has of life and death. And I don't know how your week has gone, but I received some words of life this week, as I'm sure we all have, perhaps not quite in the way that that I did. But we did an exercise in the office, and you might have done this as part of your life group or part of youth sometime, where you have to write your name at the top of the piece of paper, and then you pass it around, and each person has the opportunity to write something on that piece of paper that they appreciate about you, that they want to encourage you about, some words of life to share. And so that was good. My wife wrote I was handsome, so I was happy with that. That's going in my words of life box up here. I wonder what words of life you had this week. Words of death? Well, I didn't get many, I would say. I didn't think until I went to youth on Thursday night. And it's really interesting that one or two of the youth are here because they know exactly where this is going, and it could be a lot worse for them other than the fact that I forgot to bring my Crocs. I got completely skitted Thursday night for wearing my Crocs to youth. Now, can I just see, my wife can't believe I wore them to youth now, can I just see who thinks there's any issue at all with wearing Crocs?
What are Crocs?
What? Okay, hands down, who thinks Crocs are great? I would say they're my favourite, thank you. Thank you. I would say my Crocs are probably my favourite shoes. I wear them at least, white? I'm not sure about white, I'll be honest with that. So I'm not going to put any names, Ella, but the words about my Crocs are going in words of death. No, it was a good laugh. It was all in good banter and all that, so I am joking. But we do know that it goes one way or the other, don't we? This is what we're considering. We know that our words can be words of life, which is high. There we go, from the word higher. And that as I received those words, there was a sense of I was being built and I was being given life, being repaired and restored. But terribly, on Thursday night, being torn apart. No, I wasn't coming to ruin or a kind of deadly pestilence or anything like that. That was a good bit of fun. But we know that it goes one way or the other. And today, we're going to stick with the text that we used last week. If you've got your Bibles, you can turn to it, or it's on the screen there. And we're going to consider some of the things from last week, but we're going to go deeper into them. So, Psalm 19:14. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O God, my Lord, my rock, and my Redeemer. And we've had a week, and we've been reminded of it this morning already, we've had a week where there's been a sense of in or out, and that's been quite interesting in one sense, because essentially this is what David was talking about. He was talking about the outer, and he was talking about the inner. We questioned, where do our words come from? And of course, Jesus has answered that question for us in Matthew 12:34. It's from our heart. That's where our words come from, the overflow of our heart. There is a little caveat to that, I think, for those that have perhaps thought this through a little bit, as I have done. There are going to be those words and things that we just say, and we are genuinely perplexed as to where on earth they came from. I was talking with Kira the other day about, I don't even know what, and she said, Kira's one of the youth, and she said something like, oh, I hate curry. And I said, oh, and me? I love curry. I mean, it's actually curry or carvery. I could never decide. Generally, I go carvery in the day. We're going on a bit of a tangent here. But anyway, I have no idea where that came from. And so there are going to be those random occurrences where we just say something and think, why did I say that? All right, so if you've got there, then yes, there are some caveats to that. But as a general rule, and oftentimes when the pressure's on or we're not prepped, things come out that reveal where our heart's at. And so, where do our words come from? How did we get on last week, I wonder? We said that perhaps we would consider what we're putting into our hearts. If our words are coming out of our heart, what are we putting into our hearts? I wonder how we got on this week. What did you fill your heart with, perhaps, this week? Which is, I think, potentially a strange question to ask. It's an interesting phrase, isn't it? What did you fill your heart with? Because in reality, there it is, there's our heart. You're not really going to be filling your heart with anything, are you? Other than perhaps the blood that is pumping and what makes up the heart. Because in reality, that's an organ, it's a muscle in our body which has a function, a physical function to it. And I know that some of you either now know what's going on there, and a certain trainee doctor's in my eye side. I'm thinking, that's incredible, actually, that you can perhaps explain that. But that's obviously not what we're talking about. When the word was used by Jesus, it was this, cardia. Okay, so when he said, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks, he was using this Greek word, cardia, which means the middle or the central part of us, or the most inmost part. It's where the thoughts and the feelings within our mind come from. The fountain of our thoughts, our passions, our desires, our purposes, but also our intellect and our will. And it's important we understand that. And many times today, I'm sure I'll make a gesture towards my heart and you'll all know exactly what I mean. But in reality, of course, we're talking about our head and the part of our body which stores our beliefs. The part of our head, the part of our brain which stores our core beliefs. What are our core beliefs? What are we storing up within us? Because this is what Jesus was referring to. And it's from that place that we speak and we act. That's where it comes from. I wonder if you know this lady. Anyone recognize this lady? Well done, Dave. I mean, I'm not surprised at all, but you may have caught the story about Ella Birchenoff sometime last year. Ella managed to drop her phone. It was an iPhone 5S. It was at the time where that was the best phone that Apple were producing, and so clearly had some value to it. Well, she managed to drop it down a drain as she was walking home from school. And rather than think about this logically, rather than think about the part of the brain that's reasoning with her that she could get maybe into trouble or get stuck if she tried to retrieve it or hurt herself or disappear or any of these things that might have been reasoning in her mind, she decided to listen to the part of her brain that was going to her things like this. Your mum's going to kill you if you don't find that phone. And so, sure enough, that's what she did. Ella Birchenoff went down the storm drain and Ella got stuck. And sure enough, her mum did go mad. But guess who took the photos and released them on social media? So mum clearly couldn't have been that upset because she decided to repay her by standing there saying, oh, this is a great photo. This is going to look great on Facebook. And if we go back, that's actually Ella on, I think, Daybreak or one of those breakfast programs. And if you Google it in, it's quite incredible how famous she got just from this decision that she made. But it's obviously, I'm just telling this for a bit of fun, but actually, if we consider it, why she did it, there was something within her, and again, I'm pointing to here, but within here, there was a belief that was driving her to do that. And she actually spoke of it. She actually said, I knew mum would kill me. I thought to myself, how am I going to live without my phone? There were some drivers to these decision making. It wasn't just some random thing she decided to do. And that is true of us. That is true of us. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to equally do what Ella did. But the truth is that behind the decisions that we make, behind the words that we speak or the actions that we live out, there are driving forces and they come from this part of our brain where our beliefs are stored and we act from that place and we speak from that place. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Proverbs 4:23. Again, this word is used, heart. And again, this time in the Hebrew. pronounced lave. It means the center, the inner man, the mind, the soul, the will. Again, it's talking about what is at the center of us, what is driving us towards being who we are and what we do. And therefore, the Bible says to guard what's at the center of us, because it's a big deal. And it might sound like an obvious thing to say, but a wellspring is where things flow from. If you want a more specific definition, it's the source of a spring, a stream or river, or the source or supply of something. It's where we operate from. It's where we flow from. The things that we're storing in here are going to come out, and therefore the Bible teaches us, guard it above your car. Guard it above your money. Guard it above those hobbies that we all love, or those interests that we all have, or that music, or whatever it may be. Above all else, guard this. Why? Because everything flows from that place in your life. And we're going to look at that now. For the rest of this time together now, we are going to look at, if that is true, then what do we do? How do we guard our hearts? If it's that important, what does our response need to be? We looked at that last week, and that just gives us a picture of what is happening in our bodies day in, day out. So what do we do? Here we go. Four things. First thing's this. We need a regular heart checkup. You know, it's amazing, isn't it, how most of us take our health, our physical health, pretty seriously, and we'll be pretty clued in to certain appointments that we need to keep, where we need to be at what time, perhaps if it's a hospital appointment, or perhaps just if it's coming to that place where we need to be just checking up on how the heart's doing, how our bodies are doing. And yet, as right as that is, and as good as it is, because God has given us our bodies and we're to be stewards of them, it is amazing how relaxed sometimes perhaps we can be about our spiritual health. That's what I think anyway. And I think the challenge of that is that one is eternal and one is temporary. And yet the one should be affecting the other, because our grasp on what is eternal and what matters should be affecting the way that we keep ourselves and affect our decisions about keeping ourselves fit and healthy, etc. But when our focus is purely upon the physical, it doesn't necessarily overflow into the eternal, which is, of course, forever. Romans 10:9 says this: if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Most of us have heard that a lot of times. Goes on to say, for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, made right, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Believing with our heart, confessing and professing with our mouth. And do you know what? It's a good and right thing to do for every one of us to think about what is taking place in our hearts and how we're guarding our hearts, the wellspring of our life. But I'm going to say this. Whilst that is a good thing to do, even if you're not a Christian, you need to know the truth. That simply guarding your heart against negative influences upon it will not be enough for you to know transformation. Doesn't mean you're not going to be a good person. Doesn't mean you're not going to make some good decisions. Doesn't mean you're a great person to be around. But in terms of eternity, it means you're going to be lost. And you need to be found by the love of Jesus. That is what the Bible teaches. God's desire for your heart, if you've not come to that place of accepting and believing in Jesus, is this. It's recorded in Ezekiel 36:26. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And if you've never responded to that invitation from Jesus to give you a new heart that beats for him and beats for the things that are going to outlive your years here on earth, then this morning you need a heart transplant. You need a heart transplant. No, not physically, but spiritually. God wants to take away the old, which is yearning for the things which are all about you and all about me, and not about the things that count for eternity in this earth. That is on offer to you today. If you've not received it, take it. Receive him this morning. You know, J. John tells the story. He's a well-known evangelist, if you've not heard of him, of the day after he became a Christian. He was walking to work, and he saw a homeless guy just sat on the side of the road. And he ended up taking this guy for breakfast. And he actually decided to talk to him about Jesus. Now, bearing in mind, although now that would be a very common and normal thing for him to do, this was the first day or the second day of him being a Christian. And he's walking along the road and he sees this homeless person. And they're out for breakfast and they get talking and they realize that he had walked past this homeless guy dozens and dozens and dozens of times on his way to work. And it was just a very significant picture that the day after J. John became a Christian, he noticed somebody in need. Why was that? Because his heart had changed. Truly, he had had a conversion, not just in his head where he thought, this is a good thing, but actually in his heart, a change had taken place, and he noticed somebody in need. If you've had this heart transplant and you're a Christian, what condition is your heart in this morning? Psalm 139 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart." He's saying, know my center, God. Know my center. Understand what's going on me. I know you do. This is what I would imagine the dialogue that's going on in his head, because it's the kind of thing that's going through my head when I pray this. Lord, I know you know this, but I want you to know this, because I'm giving you permission to speak to me and know me and direct me as you see fit. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I wonder how often you pray a prayer like that. I wonder if it's just on a Sunday. I wonder if perhaps it isn't on a Sunday. I wonder if that is part of your daily routine, moment by moment. God, know me. Know the condition of my heart. Help me grow. Help me move forward. We need regular checks on our heart. And one indicator of how our heart's doing is our thought life. So, we know that we speak from our heart. We know that's within our mind, and we know our words are coming from that place. So the question might be, what are we spending our time thinking about? What's dominating our thoughts? Well, for me, currently, if I'm honest, there's a fair bit of that going on. It's nice to see there's a load of confidence about how we're going to get on tomorrow night, but if I'm honest, I'm in the same place. Should be a formality, but I guess we'll find out. But no, in all seriousness, what are we thinking about? How often are we renewing our minds with truth? Is that a foreign concept to you? Do you just allow yourself to go wherever your brain decides to go and then wonder, why do I feel low? Why do I feel down? Why do I feel defeated? Why don't I seem to be having breakthrough? Why am I in cycles of patterns of behavior that are destructive? Well, it's quite possible that you just need to take a sidestep to think about, what are you focusing on? What am I allowing to go through my mind? We're going to move on from that, because Katie will pick up on that next week. But know this, if you don't know it already, or take it as a reminder, it is a big deal what we choose to think about. It's a big deal, because it leads to what we do. So, we ask Jesus to work on our hearts, or we give him our hearts if we've not done so already. We work on our thoughts, we renew our mind, we bring truth to our minds, and we know that from these places it leads to our words and to our actions. And we're going to come to that in just a moment, and we're going to consider our words on our actions. But just before we do, there is such a key element that we can't miss, and that's this: our exposure. What are we putting before our eyes? What are we listening to? In his book, John Ortberg wrote a book called If You Want to Walk on Water, You've Got to Get Out of the Boat. Some of you may have read it. And he talks about this. He talks about the law of exposure. He says, your mind will think about most what it is exposed to. And he goes on to say this, what repeatedly enters your mind, occupies your mind, eventually shapes your mind, and will ultimately express itself in what you do and who you become. The law of exposure is as unchangeable as the law of gravity. No one is surprised by the law of gravity. No one says, hey, I dropped this priceless antique crystal vase on cement and it broke. What are the odds of that? But amazingly enough, people react to the law of exposure in total shock. People are surprised what their minds are constantly exposed to, attend to and dwell on, eventually comes out in how they feel and what they do. I was at the cinema when I was 17, and that's not an uncommon thing, other than the fact that the three guys that I went with, I didn't know very well at all. They were called James and John and George, and they're still very close friends of mine today. But we'd only seen each other a handful of times at football training, and we decided to go to the cinema. And we are sat towards the back of the cinema, and I think John and George are the other side of James, and I'm sat next to James, and opening credits came on, opening scene came on, and, well, what can I say? There was a scene of ladies there in bikinis. Okay? No big issue there. Keep watching the film. And I just feel this tapping, like, on my arm. I'm kind of familiar with tapping now, now I'm a parent, but it was a bit strange to be at the cinema and just feel this tapping. I kind of looked down, and this guy, James, who I really didn't know very well, was like looking at me, and he said, you all right? I was like, yeah, I'm all right. Okay, so carried on, weirdo. Just carried on looking at the screen, and there was just this tapping again, and it was weird. I was like, you all right? He goes, you all right? And I'm like, yeah. Yeah, I'm all right. You all right? I'm like, what have I missed? He went, look at me. I'm like, I am, and it's weird. He's like, no, 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 look at me, don't look at the screen. And I honestly didn't have a clue what he was talking about. It took me a couple of moments to go, oh, right, I've got a choice. And honestly, I remember it like it was yesterday, because it was like the first time somebody had brought a biblical principle in my everyday life to life for me, where he was going, choose what you look at. Think about what you choose to look at, which you'd have thought I'd have added up and realized was perhaps a good thing to do, because at that time of my life, lust was a bit of a struggle, to put it mildly. So you might have thought that I'd have done some connections with, oh, if I'm behaving in this way, what am I looking at? What's feeding that? But no, no, actually, when I was 17, that's when it hit home. Right, there's a link here, and there's a link which all of us need to understand. And it is not specific to lust. And I think this is what can happen sometimes, sadly, in the church, that we think, oh, so long as we're averting our eyes from filthy, disgusting things, things are fine. No, that's just one issue. There are so many things, and it depends on who you are and your character and your gender and what your struggles are. You will know the things, almost certainly, that hold you back, and that you have a choice as to whether you choose to look at them and hear them or remove them and avoid them from your life. We've got to make the link between what we view and what we do. And if we choose not to, then we have to accept that those cycles of behavior or those roadblocks that we seem to keep hitting are just going to stay, because there is an intrinsic link here between what we are putting through these and into these and what comes out of here and what comes out of here. And this might be uncomfortable this morning. It feels uncomfortable to me too, because guess what? I've not cracked it yet. I've got a long way to go, so we're in this together. Psalm 19:14 says, talks about meditation of the heart. And that word, hygion, translates as is there. Meditate, resounding music, musing. It means prolonged thought, contemplation, reflection, to consider. Here's the point. Whatever we're exposing ourselves to repeatedly and focusing on and thinking on becomes the fuel for your life. And I truly believe that this can be a moment for us here today, like it was for me in that moment when I was in that cinema at 17, where we make this link and understand and perhaps then act and make changes accordingly in our lives between what comes in, coming out. I'm told this is an Aston Martin diff, is that right? Yeah, right. He knows. Can you imagine if the driver of this Aston Martin just decided to put in Tesco Valley Oil? I don't even know if Tesco Valley Oil exists, to be honest. But the cheapest oil. It's just not going to happen, is it? Or if he just pulls up and goes, oh, I'll just have your cheapest petrol, please, perhaps. I'm thinking he's going for top-grade stuff. Why? Because he cares about the performance of that car. He cares about that car, or she cares, very sexist, isn't it? Or she cares about that car so much that they want the best performance out of it. Perhaps parents have a child, and they think very carefully about what is going into the mouth of that child. They want the child to be nourished. They want that child to grow and become all they can be. Or perhaps for you and me, we think carefully about what we're going to eat and what we're not going to eat. And all those things are fine. There's nothing wrong with those things. But there is certainly something wrong, and it's something that's very scary if we're paying more attention to what we're putting into our car, what we're putting into our stomachs, or what we're putting into the stomachs of our children than what we are putting into our heart. One is eternal and one is temporary. Yes, the eternal affects the other, but the other doesn't necessarily affect the eternal. There's an order to it that if we put God in the center, then from that place, that will affect our decisions. But some of us need to be rattled this morning. Some of us need to go out of here a little bit concerned, a little bit jarred, a little bit, wow, what do I need to do here? And how am I going to do that? What are you focusing on? Because whatever it is going to come out. Which brings us to the last thing. There we go. There it is, our exposure leading to our heart and our mind, leading to our words and our actions. And those words and actions we have a choice with.